Blog Talk Radio.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. We have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
George Bush has invoked a new world order without enunciating a new American purpose.
Bush kept said, and it's a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order, and instead it looks like we got a lot of disorder.
Today we take an essential step in defeating terrorism while protecting the constitutional rights of all Americans. Preventing mass terror will be the responsibilities of presidents far into the future.
The Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, these are not simply words written into aging parchment. They are the foundation of liberty and justice in this country.
This is an ideological battle. Some people believe in globalism. Others of us believe in national sovereignty. It's a contest between ideologies, whether we believe in our institutions here, our national sovereignty, our constitution, or are we going to further move in the direction of international government? It's just knowledge is out there. If we look for it, you'll realize that our national sovereignty is under threat.
All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
In the year of our Lord, 1314, patriots of Scotland, starving and outnumbered, charged the fields of Bannockburn. They fought like warrior poets. They fought like Scotsmen. And won their freedom.
And if anybody wants to protest what we do or violate what we want, we just turn off their chip.
That's right, microchip.
In 2005, Congress, under the pretense of immigration control and the so-called war on terrorism, passed the REAL ID Act, under which it is projected by May 2008, you will be required to carry around a federal identification card, which includes on it a scannable barcode with your personal information. However, this barcode is only an intermediary step before the card is equipped with a VeriChip RFID tracking module, which will use radio frequencies to track your every move on the planet. If this sounds foreign to you, please note that the RFID tracking chip is already in all new American passports. And the final step is the implanted chip, which many people have already been manipulated into accepting under different pretenses.
We have a Florida family who are really pioneers in a brave new world. They have volunteered to be the first ever to have microchip identification devices implanted into their bodies.
After 9/11, I was really concerned with the security of my family.
I wouldn't mind having something planted permanently in my arm that would identify me.
In the end, everybody will be locked into a monitored control grid where every single action you perform is documented. And if you get out of line, they can just turn off your chip, for at that point in time, every single aspect of society will revolve around interactions with the chips. This is the picture that is painted for the future if you open your eyes to see it. A centralized one-world economy where everyone's moves and everyone's transactions are tracked and monitored, all rights removed. The most incredible aspect of all. These totalitarian elements will not be forced upon the people. The people will demand them. For the social manipulation of society through the generation of fear and division has completely detached humans from their sense of power and reality. A process which has been going on for centuries, if not millennia. Religion, patriotism, race, wealth, class, and every other form of arbitrary separatist identification, thus conceit, has served to create a controlled population, utterly malleable in the hands of the few. Divide and conquer is the motto, and as long as people continue to see themselves as separate from everything else, they lend themselves to being completely enslaved. The men behind the curtain know this, and they also know that if people ever realize the truth of their relationship to nature and the truth of their personal power, the entire manufactured zeitgeist they prey upon will collapse like a house of cards.
The whole system that we live in drills into us that we're powerless, that we're weak, that our society is evil, that it's fragmented, etc. and so forth. It's all a big fat lie. We are powerful, beautiful, extraordinary. There is no reason why we cannot understand who we truly are, where we are going. There is no reason why the average individual cannot be fully empowered. We are incredibly powerful beings.
Now, I think I spent 30 years of my life, in the first 30, trying to become something. I wanted to become good at things. I wanted to become good at tennis. I wanted to become good at school and grades and everything I kind of viewed in that perspective. I'm not okay the way I am, but if I got good at things, I realized that I had the game wrong. The game was to find out what I already was.
We've been trained for individual differences to stand out. So you look at each person, immediately it is brighter, dumber, older, younger, richer, poorer, and we make all these dimensional distinctions, put them in categories and treat them that way. And we get so that we only see others as separate from ourselves in the ways in which they're separate. And one of the dramatic characteristics of experience is being with another person and suddenly seeing the ways in which they are like you, not different from you, and experiencing the fact that, which is essence in you and which is essence in me is indeed one, the understanding that there is no other. It is all one. And I wasn't born Richard Alpert. I was just born as a human being. And then I learned this whole business of who I am and whether I'm good or bad or achieving or not. All that's learned along the way.
Like a ride in an amusement park. And when you go on it, you think it's real, because that's how powerful our minds are. And the ride goes up and down and round. It has thrills and chills, and it's very brightly colored. And it's very loud, but it's fun for a while. Some have been on the ride for a long time, and they begin to question, is this real, or is this just a ride? And other people have remembered, and they come back to us, and they say, hey, don't worry. Don't be afraid ever. Because this is just a ride. And we kill those people.
Shut him up. I've got a lot invested in this ride. Shut him up.
Look at my furrows of worry. Look at my big bank account,
my family. This has to be real. It's just a ride. But we'll kill those good guys
and try and tell us that. You ever notice that? And let the demons run amok?
But it doesn't matter. Because it's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want.
Only the choice. No effort, no work, no job, no
savings of money. Just a choice right now between fear and love.
Couple people to join me here on the from the internet late night here, talking obviously with the reports of. I mean, I'm gonna let you know right now. If I were you, I would go out and fill up your gas tank before the morning time rush comes, because I'm gonna tell you right now, gas prices are going to soar. They're going to soar. I mean, you know, I know one tank of gas, you know, but just say it shoots up. I've seen it happen. I remember in 2008, gas prices shot up $10. I mean, about $8, $9, $10 a gallon for like one day here in North Carolina when that pipeline broke, and they gouged us. And these gas, everybody was panicking. Gas stations ran out for a week because everyone ran to the gas pumps, and that's what you got to do. You got to run out there because the idiots don't know how to, you know, handle the situation. They don't know what to do. And that's what's going to happen. I guarantee you tomorrow you're going to see a mad rush for the gas station. I'm telling you right now. And the grocery stores. Bread, milk, stuff like that. If I were you, I'd be very careful. Because people act stupid. You should have a 30-day supply of food on hand. Most definitely. You should. You know? I mean, there's no. I got people messaging me now. Let me see here what's going on. Okay, I mean, all right, okay, all right, let's see, on now, I guess everybody's trying to pay, on now, here we go, on now, all right, here we go, I'm trying to get a few people here, about 3-4 people here, it's a conversation here tonight, get their opinions on this, you know, thoughts and of everything that's happening and transpiring, because this is major stuff, man, that's going around the world right now. People just don't understand it. They don't get it. There's Lorianne. She's in the chat room. Adam said he's going to be here in a minute, so I got Adam. I'm messaging him on Facebook. That's good. All right, so she's in the chat room, so Adam there. I guess everybody's bunkering down. You know, Israel carries out retaliation. So it's on the news now. It happened at 9:04 p.m. tonight. I got my message at let me check my text messages here. I got my first message at 8:52, and then I got my confirmed message from a friend of mine locally. I think it was about 20 after 9, and that's when I announced it on the podcast show. I could have announced it. I went on the podcast show at 9 because I knew this was the night, you know, if something was going on. I mean, I messaged my friend Adam there on Facebook. I messaged him about 9:30, 10 maybe, somewhere around there. You know, just trying to let people know what's going on. You know, because, you know, sometimes I get false information, you know, and I look like an idiot. But, I told people anyway a week ago this stuff was going down. I said, they're going to it. And everybody was yelling at me, oh, we don't got enough troops over there. They're not going to attack Iran. Well, what was I right or wrong, people? Was I right or wrong? Did I not remember who Sarge? Sarge was arguing with me, remember? We're not going to attack Iran, remember? I said, they're going to attack Iran. The plan is already in the making. They've got troops over there. They're all ready to go. They're going to attack Iran. This was last week. I said it. And nobody believed me. So, you know, hey, that's fine. What can you say? What can I say? What can I say? You know, it is what it is. It is what it is. So I'm waiting for you guys to call in here. I don't know where the heck they are. One calls in, one hangs up. One calls in, another one hangs up. I'm trying to get everybody here all at once here. You just can't even get 10 people to meet at the same time. Get back to Facebook here and see if I can get them on here. On now, on now, on now. I'm on now, I'm on now, I'm on now. On now. All right. I guess Lorianne said she's coming, so she said she's making her way on there. I don't want to start another commercial, and then these guys all should pop up in there, you know? So 657-383-0616, press 1. You guys should know my show. These guys know my show number no matter what. I guess I'll play a Trump commercial then, I guess, maybe, until I wait for you guys to call in. Or maybe they can't get in. I don't know. Maybe they can't call in. I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. Let's see. Let's play this one here real quick. Oh, wait. Wait. Here we go.
I've been asking where the Trump supporters are, right? Why have we been so quiet? Where all the Trumpies at, right? That's what I've been hearing. We've been here the whole time. We don't need a safe space. We don't burn down our cities. We don't riot when things don't go our way. And if we lose a fair one, then we accept defeat with humility.
There's Lorianne. I see her on the phone line. All right. Now, Adam said he's coming too, so where the heck is he at? He was waiting out for Lorianne, and Lorianne's waiting for me, so let's see here. All right. Play a clip, sure. A meeting. All right. I'll play a clip then while you guys are making your way then. That's what I'll do. That's a good idea then. Try to play one here. There. We'll see here. How about this one here?
What if the American people woke up and understood that the official reasons for going to war are almost always based on lies and promoted by war propaganda in order to serve special interests? What if we as a nation came to realize that the quest for empire eventually destroys all great nations? What if the American people learned the truth?
The FBI has foiled about 17 plots to kill Americans during the past 10 years. What it will not tell you is that there have been 20 foiled plots, and of them, 3 were interrupted by members of the public. The 17 that were interrupted by the feds were created by the feds. Why do we pay the government to trick us into believing it is keeping us safe? What if a government that manipulated us could be fired? What if a government that lacked the true and knowing consent of the governed could be dismissed? What if it were possible to have a real game changer? What if we need a Ron Paul to preserve and protect our freedoms from the government? What if we can make elections matter again? What if you could love your country, but hate what the government has done to it? What if sometimes, to love your country, you had to alter or abolish the government? What if Jefferson was right? What if that government is best which governs least? What if I'm right? What if the government is wrong? What if it is dangerous to be right when the government is wrong? What if it is better to perish fighting for freedom than to live as a slave? What if freedom's greatest hour of danger is now?
It's critical that every citizen of this country rise up and do something, because the day of reckoning is at hand and time is running out.
Unless we do something, we're going to get the government that we deserve.
How did you let this happen? Wake up out there. You know, it's your children. Don't you care? Look what these people are doing to you.
There are 200 million adults in this country. Why we are letting them get away with what they are, why we're not marching in the streets.
Do everything in your power to restore freedom and your individuality back to America. Stop being a country run by the institutions for the institutions. Let's go back to we the people, by the people, for the people.
You have to stop being scared. You have to stand up and do what's necessary to take back, to stop these bankers, these elite, this government full of lies, congressmen full of liars.
And the Federal Reserve. And the fractional banking system.
And the Fed.
Elect Ron Paul. And the war.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, or what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men. Machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You, the people, have the power. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful. Let us fight to free the world, to do away with greed, with hate and intolerance. Let us fight for a world of reason, a world where science and progress will lead to all men's happiness. Soldiers, let us all unite!
All right, here we go. Hey, guys. Here, can you hear me okay?
Hello.
All right. I had Gunslinger, too, but he got disconnected. He'll call back in. So I had, I'm trying to get about four of us on here. Get any more than that, then we're talking over each other. So,
well,
what do you think?
Normal.
Wait, Adam, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Okay, good, 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 good. Well, Adam, you got to watch the news there. I know when I messaged you, Adam didn't doubt me at all. He says, oh, wow, really? What's going on? He didn't say, ah, you're full of shit.
I've been waiting for it, so it didn't surprise me.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know.
Oh,
I know.
Yeah,
they've only
been talking about it, you know. It's like when Iran says, yeah, we're going to retaliate imminently very soon, and people are all like, nah, it ain't gonna happen. They don't have the balls. Come on now.
Well, I told you guys last week, remember? We were on the show. Remember? I said last week, I said they're already geared up. Israel's already geared up, ready to attack Iran. Remember Sarge said, no, we don't have the troops over there ready yet. Remember? Remember? We had that argument. I said,
yeah,
yes, they're going to attack.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Do you really think that we're sending our huge Navy ships over there and making a pier off of Gaza for only humanitarian aid? I mean, that's like the perfect cover. You know what I mean? Sure, we're just here for humanitarian aid. We're not going to interfere. No, the United States never interferes with shit like this. Never.
Hey, one thing I got to warn you guys, you know what I would do? I'd go fill up your gas tank. I'm going to tell you that right now. Gas prices are going to skyrocket. That's what I heard.
Oh, they already are going up.
Yeah,
right here,
but they're going to really go up.
I looked today because I went to go to the store, pick up a few things, and it was $4.29 a gallon unleaded already. And like, when I went about a week ago, it was like $3.85 or something. So it's already shooting up already in a week.
They're talking $8 a gallon. That's what I heard. $8 a gallon by next week. That's what I heard. I don't know how true. I haven't confirmed that yet, but I know it's going to hit five. I know it. I'll say five by the end of tomorrow, I bet. Stock market's already dumping. They're dumping everything across the, because they opened up overseas already, stock market. It's down. Gold is soaring. Soaring.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish I had the money to buy gold when it was still at like $1,900 an ounce, you know, even 2,000, because it's going to just skyrocket. If you bought an
ounce of
gold,
I got 500 shares.
You know, even a month ago, you're about to make a good 30% profit at least, you know.
I got 500 shares of analog gold. 500 shares in analog gold I got. It's a gold mining company in South Africa. Let me see. Matter of fact, I pulled up one of the stock certificates the other day. Oh, here it is right here. Man, I'm going to cash. This one's got 59 shares right here. Yeah, Analog Gold Limited. I got let's see here. When we bought this in 1998. It was, I think it was like, it was cheap. It was real cheap back then. Yeah, right here. This one's 59 shares. This is the one I bought in 1998. Yep. Wow. Yep. No, I didn't buy it. My dad did. So, Bank of New York. So, Analog Gold
Ron
Limited.
Ron Paul's making some bank right now. Ron Paul is invested in gold, not just physical gold, but like you know, in gold stocks. You know, various gold-related investments. He's done that for decades. You know, I mean, him and his family are going to be set. That's all I got to say. They are going to be set for fucking life.
Yeah, if you could survive. We don't know what's going to happen. I mean, like Adam was talking about earlier, they throw an EMP above us or something. You know, we're screwed. You know, I mean, I can only imagine the chaos.
I just read today that the FBI is warning everybody that the Chinese are going to cyber attack our infrastructure. That it's quite likely that, you know, China's planning this.
I wouldn't be surprised.
So, and I'm like, yeah, well, what else is fucking new? You know, nobody seems to remember. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I said, you mean the U.S. government's going to turn the lights out and blame the Chinese? Yeah, that would be likely.
Right? I wouldn't be surprised, Adam. That would be a good call, though. But, you know,
our government, our corporation government, does what they want and blames everybody else for it. If the Chinese do attack, it'll be through some kind of provocation that we don't know about, the general population doesn't know about. This is all being orchestrated from above, from whoever's above actually pulling these
strings.
Doesn't
it piss you off, though?
So,
doesn't it piss you off?
It absolutely does, because they're literally just, the plan is genocide. You had that defense contractor website that talked about the population of the United States only being 90-something million by the time 2025 hit. And
wow.
What did they know 10, 15 years ago? Because that was 10 or 15
wow.
years ago. They were projecting the defense budget and the GDP of what every country in the world was going to be, and the population of the U.S. was projected to be 90-something million.
Crazy, man. That's golden information right there. So they're up to something, man. Jesus.
And they've known about it for
alert.
10 or 15 years?
Damn, man. This is insane. This is bad.
Well, you know,
oh,
Iran
yeah,
was
about
part
it,
of, you know, if you think back into the 9/11 days and the Bush Jr. days, Iran was part of that axis of evil, you know, and we didn't bomb the shit out of them, and we didn't occupy them like we did in Iraq and Afghanistan for a couple of decades, you know. So this is a very long time coming, you know. It's a very long time coming. And so this is all going to be seen as provocation. The second that Iran, you know, retaliates against Israel and we have our ships and our troops in the area supposedly delivering humanitarian aid, you know, that'll be the provocation that'll start it all.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I know. Man, this is crazy, man. This is bad. I mean, I'm pissed off too, Adam. You know, I mean, we've all talked about this, about shit going on and everything going down. But, you know, it's just that there's always a piece of you that just says, well, maybe the patriot community or those of us that are awake, they're scared of still, you know, and they won't dare it yet. There'll be another 10 years down the road, you know? You know, that's what I, you know, because we all hope for that. And we've kind of diverted a lot of stuff by fighting back in our own little ways. But at the same time, otherwise they would have pulled this shit off 15 years ago, you know?
Absolutely right. We have talked about it for such a long time. We've tried to awaken people. There's always little glimmers of hope. There's, you know, small groups of people that have woken up and realized that we're living our lives on borrowed time here. But then there's those who just simply deny. They don't even necessarily deny what's happening. They deny that they need to do something to stop it. They believe that somehow it is someone else's responsibility, that people, God figures like Donald Trump, are going to come and save them, and they won't actually have to stand up and do it themselves. Because what people think is that if they stand and they speak and they try to make a difference in their communities, if they try to actually change something for the better, that they're going to be the target of aggression and they're going to lose something. And they may not be wrong. They may not be wrong, but the cost of doing nothing is going to be everything.
Correct.
At the end, you didn't save anything. And that's what we're looking at right now. That's the reason I'm set up in the position I'm set up in right now, because I gave up trying to teach people. I gave up trying to tell them. I mean, I get on these shows and I talk with people, and I will still tell them. But I had absolutely this past year or more since Biden regime took over, and I've watched the rapid decline of everything in this country. Common civility, open racism, talks of genocide. I don't think people really know just how far this has gone.
Yeah. You see them in New York City fighting the Jews, fighting with the everybody. The Jews are walking down the street.
Correct.
They're attacking the Jewish people. They're attacking. It's like Nazi Germany all over again. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. What's wrong with these people? You know, attacking innocent Jewish people. Attacking innocent Jewish people going to work. Crowds. The police got to escort them.
Because they don't know who their enemy is. They don't know who the enemy is.
Man.
They don't understand their fellow man. They don't understand that their fellow man is not the one who is ruining their lives. They don't get it. None of us are at war with each other, but they're making us at war with each other. They take our food, they take our shelters, they take our land, they take everything from us. The corporations, all of them, whether it's government, private corporation, these megacorps, they're taking everything. They're monitoring us on every channel. They're taking everything, and we're blaming each other for our misfortunes, and that's not the problem. The problem are the puppet masters, and we're not directing it where it belongs.
It's
oh yeah, you know, and with the traitors that passed the FISA extension without warrants, all of that, you know, every single traitor that voted for that, they're a part of it. They're absolutely a part of it. And now with this China threat of a cyber attack, and you know China and Iran are working together, pretty sure both of them have moved away from the U.S. dollar. Pretty sure Iran is converting their shit over to Chinese yen or something else. You know, and so when shit does happen, then it's going to be, then all of those traitors that said, oh, yeah, you know, aren't you glad we didn't, you know, put in that warrant requirement? Because we have homegrown terrorists right here, and we never would have gotten them if we had rolled back FISA, you know, if we weren't able to spy on Americans without warrants, if we weren't able to deem Americans right here inside of the United States that have lived their entire, born here and lived their entire lives here, if we can't classify them as terrorist enemies based on the warrantless spying that FISA gives us, you know, then we would have been worse off. How much you want to bet? Mark my words right now. It's only a matter of time before this shit is justified. And then they're going to convince everybody that aren't you glad we still had that in place?
We have a homegrown terrorist problem, and it's in the District of Criminals.
Yeah.
That's
absolutely
our homegrown terrorist problem. And let's not forget that all of this FISA stuff under our Republican conservative leader, George W. Bush.
Thank you.
I'm telling the American people that we don't have conservative parties at all. They don't exist. They exist only as controlled opposition. The worst things that happen and the egregious destruction of our liberties happen under conservative leadership, because the patriots will stand down hoping that someone else will stand the gap.
Yep.
Because if those things, if they had signed the Patriot Act under Barack Obama, they would have saw it for what it was.
Yep.
But because it was Barack Obama, or because it was George W. Bush, the creation of the National Spying Agency, NSA, the Homeland Security, Department of Homeland Spying, all of that was happening under George W. Bush. I knew when it was created that it would be turned against the American people, because they never defined who the enemy was. The enemy was this war on terror, the war on an idea. You get to define that to be whatever you want it to be. And look what we've got now. We've got the entire system turning on homegrown terrorism. What is homegrown terrorism? Anything that disagrees with the District of Criminals. It's Nazi Germany. It's the same game. It's not even a new game. It's nothing new under the sun. They're playing the exact same game. Joseph Stalin. It's the same game. We're playing the same game. And they're turning races against each other. They're turning the people, ideas against each other. Anything they can do to divide everyone down so that everyone stands alone. We're watching it before our eyes. It's the exact same game they've always played. And we're all getting played. The enemy are the people directing this crap. We the people, I think it's already too late. Honestly, we're not going to get enough people to understand who the actual enemy is, because we got to storm our state capitals. We got to storm the counties. We've got to end this. And that kind of thing, now they're going to declare us criminal terrorists by even suggesting such a thing. But they do not represent us. They don't represent us. We have no representation. They do not act in our interests. They violate their oaths of office openly, blatantly. They don't care about the Constitution. They've burnt it a long time ago.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah.
What are we doing? What does it have
to You know what happened to me?
You're going
to
wait till the jackboot's got the boot on your throat before you decide, oh, shit, maybe we should have done something. That's a little late.
Did you hear what happened to me,
Adam? Thugs out here that call themselves cops and the thugs that call themselves National Guard and the thugs, all these people who thought they'd do good following orders, the same with the Nazi SS, the same with... It's all the same game. It's the same game with just different actors and different names.
Yeah.
That clip that you sent me earlier, that TikTok clip, and one of the famous, the best quote from that clip that you sent me was that all of these so-called law enforcement agencies, FBI, CIA, TSA, Homeland Security, ATF, all of them are nothing but mercenaries for the politicians. I love how that person speaking on that clip said it. You know, they are nothing but mercenaries for the politicians, and that is so fucking right.
Absolutely. Paid mercenaries. Because it doesn't matter what the actual law is. It doesn't matter that these politicians and these judges and these agents are harming the individual people that they swore an oath to protect. It doesn't matter because at the end of the day, the mercs, the agent, the paid guys, I've got a job. It's just my job. It's nothing personal. It's just my job. I'm going to stomp you. I'm going to shoot you if you don't pay your parking ticket. You know, it's just my job. I'm just doing my job. They're paid mercenaries.
He's a hero.
That's absolutely right.
He's a hero. There are heroes. Right?
Right. Blue line heroes, absolutely. Because that woman
on the
side of the
road. Oh, yeah, and Trump is going to save the day. Trump is going to give law enforcement, you know, he wants to give them more quantified immunity. So...
Yes.
Trump wants to give law enforcement that already are putting their boots down on our fucking necks even more qualified immunity so that they're not prosecuted
because
for anything that they do. You can be as much of a thug as you fucking want.
So we got to protect them. I want to defund the police, too, and return it back to the sheriffs. Get rid of these Department of, because we don't understand. Nobody even understands what that is. They don't understand. They don't get it.
Yeah.
Department of
I got 225 on here, guys. 225 and 214, just to let you guys know. I got 225 and 214 on here, too. You guys are unmuted. I just want to let you know that.
Pretty sure that would be Mike and maybe Gunslinger, I think.
Okay.
Hi, guys.
Hey, how are you?
And, you know, and you're right. And this is, I mean, we thought we were going to get from Mike Johnson as the Speaker of the House was, one, shut down the border or shut down the government, all right? Did neither, all right? Because he passed the doggone money for whatever, the omnibus, the two omnibus bills, so neither one of those happened, and ending a FISA. Which he didn't do either. All right? We're basically allowing people to piss on the Constitution because constitutionally, when the House of Representatives sent Mayorkas' impeachment letter to the Senate, they're obligated, they're constitutionally obligated to have the trial. And Schumer tabled the impeachment letter. You know, we're just not gonna do it. You know, and so
because they don't represent us.
Right.
They don't care about us, like Adam said. They don't care. They don't have no duty or more obligation to represent us. They represent the District of Criminals, the corporation.
Right. Now, here's the deal, though. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if the Senate flips and the House goes to the Democrats, if the Senate flips, the Democrats send another set of impeachment letters. What Schumer just did basically makes Trump impeachment-proof, because all the Senate would have to do was say, screw you, we're not going to hold a trial for Trump. But Mike,
sure. None of that matters, man. Mike, none of that matters, and they're not going to do it anyway. It's a show. It's a show, Mike. It's just a show. That's all it is. It's a big show. Nothing's going to change. Bush, Trump, Biden, whatever. It's just still, they're shipping us down a shithole. You know what I mean? Of course I want, of course I don't want Biden in there for another 4 years. Of course I want Trump. But I'm just saying, these thugs that are really in charge that are leading us into this new world order, these globalists, these kamikaze scumbags, I mean, it's just, And so look what they're doing. I told you last week on one of these podcast shows we were attacking Iran any moment. I told you this, and Sarge even argued with me. No, we don't have the troops over there ready to do it yet. I said, I told you, one of my military guys told me we will be attacking. And look what's happened. They're attacking. They attacked those nuclear facilities.
I said, I go back to before Tucker Carlson got fired from Fox, he had Glenn Beck on his show, right? And Glenn Beck flat out said, and this was in January, he said, before the end of the year, we will be in a war versus Iran, versus China, and versus Russia.
Russia.
All right?
Yep.
He said it. Glenn Beck said this stuff. Now, Glenn Beck said, I never Trump, but that's neither here nor there. He said it. That was a prediction that he made. And look where we are.
Yep. But the thing of it is, like me and Adam always talk about, and Adam is one of the guys that I trust that I've known for years now that I've met throughout the internet, and we've been on all these groups and podcasts and talking with high-ranking people and trying to put things together years now. We were the Michigan guys that got arrested with the governor thing, but they were, I mean, we were hours, all night long talking with these guys on the phone. You know, pretenders even coming on. I mean, Zoom rooms talking. So, I mean, knockdown, drag out debates and arguments and trying to put stuff together. And nothing. Nothing has happened or changed.
Right. And that whole thing with the Michigan thing was a friggin' hoax.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We know the people personally. They've been on my show dozens of times. You know, we know them personally. You know?
And who's in charge of that hoax? The Democrats? The
FBI.
Liberals,
that's who was in charge.
The FBI. And who are they doing? Who are they doing it at the behest of? A liberal governor, probably.
Well,
what's the kid's name up there as the governor? Fucking
Whitmore. Whitmore.
Yeah, Whitmer. Schittmer. Gretchen Schittmer. You know?
Yeah.
But that's the thing. These people, they don't change, and they play for keeps. You know.
Well, I'm going to let you know something right now.
One side of the coin that plays keeps, and we got the other side of the coin that wants to be a controlled opposition. All right? They'd rather be in a minority and be able to snipe at the other side, but when they get in the majority, they don't want to do anything about it. That's what we got to do. We got to figure a way to get people in there that want to do something about something. All right. I mean, we got a handful.
The party will never allow that. The party will never allow you to place somebody in that will actually change something, because the Uniparty is not your party. It's not.
No.
Democrats and Republicans are not different parties. They are the delusion of choice.
Yep.
There is no getting someone in there. The party will never allow it. You don't vote for anything. You only vote for what the party allows you to vote for.
Yep.
And they present you a choice, and most of the time it's the lesser of two evils.
If you try to do something, or if you say something that they don't want to be said, they go after you. Look at what happened to Madison Cawthorn.
That's correct. The conservative, quote-unquote, Republican Party will come for you. They absolutely do. And we've watched with RFK, if you don't toe the line of the Democrat Party, and they've done that for years out in the open, but if you don't toe their line, they'll come after you. They're not interested in changing the status quo. They like it just the way it is. And there was that Princeton, I think it's Princeton University, did a study on what it is that actually makes a bill passable or not. And they proved that it had absolutely nothing to do with whether it had the Democratic support of the majority of the population, and everything to do with whether it was supported by lobbyists or not from mega corporations. They're
absolutely
not representing the people,
absolutely.
Republican
exactly.
Or Democrat.
And I think I read a similar study that was like that showed that 80% of what our Congress and Senate passed for legislation goes directly against what the majority of Americans want. 80% of the time, the Americans don't want
and that
the
doesn't matter
that
who's
doing
in charge.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter who's in charge, Republican or Democrat. That's what they do. It's a uniparty, and it's not for us. It's to make us all slaves. We are being herded like cattle, and now our usefulness is apparently ended because we're all about to be committed to the slaughter. So,
yep.
Right.
We're in trouble, guys.
Right.
And
we're
replaced
in trouble.
By AI and universal income and giving child tax credits to people that didn't even work to earn income, where they would get an income tax implemented on them anyway, but go ahead and give them $1,200 as a credit, even though they didn't earn anything. Like, that's where we're at. That's where we're fucking
it's like,
at.
It's like, it's like our friend, Ron Reck constantly talks about the human farming, you know. All we are cattle, you know, human farming, you know. If you don't serve your purpose, we'll make another one like you. He'll serve the purpose that we want him to serve, you know. That's what we are to these people. We are, we're just slaves. That's what they want.
Yep. You know, the question of it is, guys, what are we going to do about it? What can we do at this point? I always ask this question. What can we do? What do we do, man? I mean, I'm pissed off. I'm mad. You know, I mean, I mean, I got kids. You know, I still got life to live here. I want to live. You know, I mean,
what they say is try to get in the office. But again, you try to get an office at a lower level, but and start there. But you tried, and they didn't let you. All right,
didn't let me. They destroyed me.
They destroyed you.
Adam, do you know what happened to me this time around, Vernon? Did you hear what happened?
Oh, I know about the allegations and stuff. Yeah, I read about it, which is what I expected because, again, it's a uniparty. It's not, you're never going to get in there. And if they don't have something on you, they'll make something up. It's just you're not allowed. There's no way the average man with good intentions can get into office, any office that's meaningful. There's no way to do it. They've got it locked out. It's so corrupt now, you can't do it.
Right.
The representative of the people has no chance.
You can't just be a businessman and not start at the bottom of the ladder. You can't do what Trump did. Trump came out of nowhere and became the president. All right. Yeah, he was famous and all that, but still. He came out of nowhere and become the president. They want you to start, you know, go from dog catcher to city councilman to to mayor of the city, to, you know, parish council, to parish president, to being in the House of Representatives, the state house, and then the state senate, and then governor. You see what I'm going at? They're living by the path. But you got to take your steps, right? You got to take your lumps, and you got to take your steps, you know, to be able to be able. You got to start at the bottom, and then get into the system. And by the time you're 50 or 60, you're in the House of Representatives. You know, well, you're in the Senate, right? U.S. Senate.
I know.
You know.
I know, but they're not going to allow that. Like we said, you're not getting in there. And besides, you got to have money. Who said that earlier? Gunslinger, I think? You got to have weapons and money. Otherwise, you're not getting anywhere.
Yep. Plus it. Money, money, money.
Now,
money makes the world go round.
Now, granted, Gunslinger,
if we think Donald Trump came out of nowhere, let's remember that he was rubbing elbows with the Clintons and the Clinton Foundation long before he ever became president and declared himself
her
enemy.
That's true.
He was their friend before he wasn't. So I'm not buying it. I'm not. I do not buy that Donald Trump is a good man or a savior. Now, would I hope that he would get into office and actually be that? That would be great. But I'm not buying it. I don't. Because under Donald Trump, we had the worst tyranny we have ever seen in these United States. The first major, at least as far as I know, it's been the worst. I've heard some stuff about the old Spanish flu and whatnot, but that the lockdown tyranny and the destruction of the small businesses and the wealth transfer that happened under Donald Trump, and he did nothing. Nothing. His solution, and I did the imitation earlier,
my administration is working on a vaccine so fast, you won't even believe it, guys. We're going to get a vaccine.
That was Donald Trump.
Would you want that fucking bitch Hillary Clinton in there? You got to be kidding me.
I don't.
We'd be in World War III.
Who the enemy was.
We would be in World War III right now.
We are in World War III right now. Have you not noticed?
Yes,
I said
then.
I didn't say now. I said then. Didn't say now.
Oh, you're talking about back then.
2016.
Yeah. Under Barack Obama, we knew who the enemy was. Under Donald Trump, we didn't. We presumed the man to be for us. The same with George W. Bush. He signed the Patriot Act and declared all Americans terrorists and suspended due process. That happened under George W. Bush, the conservative.
Got a good point there.
Conservatives exist to make you stand down. As a patriot, you think your man's in charge and he's going to save you. That's the reason they do that stuff under conservatives. Because they're not really conservative. They're not.
I got 3-2-0 on here.
Is a fake.
Guys, I got 3-2-0 on here from Minnesota, I think. So, it's been a long time since we've had her. Adam, we were talking about this earlier. I just went blank. My name thing went blank. But I got her on here, though, if she wants to. You're unmuted, 3-2-0, if you want to speak. So, just wanted to let you know that. Might just want to listen. So, it's been a long time since she's been on the show. So, but anyway, it's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. You know, the Bushes aren't innocent in all this because the Bushes, granddad and big granddad Bush, Prescott, helped create the CIA. All right. Originally it was the OSS, and then it became the CIA at the end of World War II, right?
Bush is a criminal. We know Bush is a criminal. We know the whole families are criminals, okay?
A lot of the problems stem because, you know, the Bushes want to have all the power in the world. You know, I'll say this. Yeah. I mean, Trump may not be a good guy, but what Trump did is he stopped the Bush dynasty. That first presidency for Trump, should have been Jeb Bush's presidency. It should have been Bush versus Clinton again, and it wasn't. But that's just a little thing. And yeah, people say you don't want to start putting first ladies in jail and presidents in jail. But again, if they're committing crimes that lead to the death of people, like Hillary did with her server, she should have long ago had stuff done to her from her days in Arkansas. But because of what she did with that homebrew server, she should have swung from a rope.
Listen, man, not just the server, Benghazi. Benghazi alone should have had her hung from a freaking tree.
Benghazi,
you know?
You damn Benghazi, right the rope around that bitch's neck. Benghazi.
Yep. We could have ended this during the Clinton number one era when Bill Clinton was sending people into war without weapons.
That's right, Adam. You're absolutely right. Hang on. Hang on, Mike. Hang on one second. Adam, you're absolutely right. When Clinton number one was in there, we should have put a stop, as a people in this country, as a people, we the people, should have put a stop to it right then and there, and we did nothing.
He was sending troops into harm's way on behalf of the United Nations and sending our troops into war zones with no weapons and got them killed. That whole black
lockdown
situation, among other things, he was a traitor. And there's a young man named Michael New, and I was serving during that time. I was actually in the Navy when that Michael New issue came up, where he was ordering U.S. troops to don U.N. uniforms. And Michael New refused to put one on and got court-martialed and drummed out of the military and sent to Leavenworth because he disobeyed orders. He showed up to muster in a U.S. uniform, not a United Nations uniform. And we all, I remember being in the military debating if we were ordered to don the uniform of a foreign nation, would we do it? Absolutely not. None of us joined the military to serve a nation. And I don't know that our military people would have the intelligence to resist that now, but that debate started under Clinton. He was awful. And he also, by the way, signed the North American Free Trade Agreement, which gave the Chinese the power that they have now. So our government, our corporation government, has been complicit in the destruction of everything United States for a while, for a very long time. And the left versus right debate, the left versus right debate exists only to give you the illusion of a choice. You really don't have one. You're consenting to that government because they tell you that you have a choice, but it's not.
And to your point, Adam, you know, on this left versus right thing, think about this. You're talking about the NAFTA and Clinton doing it, but again, all the problems with China started when Nixon went to China and declared most favored nation status for China, straight and trade-wise. All right. That's the genesis of this whole thing with China is Nixon, and Nixon was supposedly on the right? And so...
And then you got Jimmy Carter, who created the current state of Iran. So, I mean, our history is that we create the problems, and then we have to create the solutions. And it's the delusion of choice. Now, Jimmy Carter created Iran. And on the backside of that, we got Ronald Reagan, who's supposed to come in and fix it all. It's always the left versus right, the problem versus the solutions. We create the problem, we create the solutions. But somewhere along the way, the American people all get fleeced in the process, always. We are the sheep that are being sheared to pay for all these things. It's never going to get better as long as we think that the answer is always on the left or the right. It's not, because there is no left or right. It doesn't exist. It's a illusion of choice. It is, we voted for this, therefore we got what we voted for, except they didn't give us a choice. It doesn't exist. We're not consenting to any of this crap. How many people in America will consent to a war that will lead us to utter devastation? I guarantee you 0% of the population will agree with that.
You saw what happened. Obama gives Iran billions and billions of dollars, almost $1 trillion, whatever it was, the original Iran deal. And then Trump tries to get out of that thing, and what happens? Every time the left of the coin or the bottom of the coin or whatever you want to call it gets in power, things go to crap. Because think about it. Jimmy Carter, things went to crap. Bill Clinton, you had our embassies being attacked. You had the USS Cole. All that led up to 9/11 under Bush. But all that started under Clinton. All right, and then with the Iran stuff again. Yeah, you can go. The genesis of it started with what's his face, but the whole Iran money deal with pallets and pallets of money went to Iran under Obama, and then we try to get out of it, and then here comes Biden, who was in the Obama administration as the vice president,
Mike, I don't want to go down. Listen, Mike, I don't want to analyze every administration here. Let's talk about today, 2024. What the hell are we going to do tomorrow morning as a people? I got 10 people on here right now, this late at night, obviously concerned about the status of our country. I know Adam's a patriot. I know Adam firsthand. I know a couple of y'all are out here passionate about where you stand. What the hell are we going to do about it? What are you going to do? I know, one, you're not going to get out there and change the world, but I'm just saying, what can you do? Who are you going to talk to? What are we going to do with our families, with everything that's happening right now? Do you understand how serious this is? This is very, very serious situation. I've been preaching it for a long time. It's finally here. This is bad. This is not a joke. This is very bad. There's no turning back right now. This is a World War III scenario right now. Very bad. And we got incompetent corporate leaders right now. Incompetent that don't care about us.
Hey, is our representative Congress going to rein our president in? Declare war on Iran, and I missed that part somewhere.
Yeah.
I understand that they're sending an awful lot of money overseas.
Right.
Yep. But the last time I checked, though, Congress has to declare war.
Yep. And the last time I checked, Congress, particularly the House, has the control of the purse strings. All right? And so what's the purse strings? The purse strings is the money, and the money is the money that's going overseas. It's our money that should be going overseas, right?
Well, there you have it.
And they're sending it there.
Yeah,
they're sending it there.
So at what point?
Who's your representative in your state? Get on his ass.
And we need a coordinated effort. listen, you're going to represent us or not. Because you're
instead
not
of
representing
beating up Jews,
us. This government
beating
is,
up Jews,
is out of
you know?
Control.
Instead of beating up Jews in downtown New York, instead of attacking people and playing the tribal game, what we need to do is start going after the real criminals, the ones in the suit and ties that are going into those office buildings. Those are the criminals.
Yeah, because they're sending our sons and daughters to die, and they're destroying us here at home while they're doing it.
Yep.
And that's not what we voted for. We do not consent. And at what point do we decide that this government has ceased to function as a representative government? I think everyone who has half a brain understands that. My problem is not with my neighbor. My problem is not with BLM. They created BLM. My problem is not with white supremacy. My problem, none of those problems exist except in the minds of those who create them. My problem is with the government who creates them to divide us all and then destroy us on the other side. They are no longer representing the interests of the people. They haven't been for a very long time. What are we going to do about that? See, that's the question we need to be asking. These representatives are not representing us. The choices they give us are not choices. The election boards are not there to facilitate the choice. They are there to make sure you have no choice. They're
there to
make sure. Just like as an independent representative, if you are an independent trying to get into most elections, you basically have no chance of even getting on the ballot.
Amen.
Is that what the founders wanted? I don't think, personally, that Republican or Democrat belongs on a ballot. We're not electing parties. We're electing people. And if you don't know who you're voting for, tough shit. That's your problem. You ain't got enough skin in the game to be voting. Because if it mattered to you enough, you'd figure out who you needed to vote for. We don't know. We don't even know what representative democracy is. It's not. The people are ignorant. We've got the most ignorant among us, created by this government, by mind you, not by choice oftentimes, but by the system that they've created. The education system isn't failing. It's doing exactly what it's designed to do. Turn out cattle. Barely functional enough to do what they want. To stock the shelves at Walmart.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We've got to retake the government, and we've got to remove those institutions that ensure they are always in power. The election boards in our counties need removed. It needs to change. And it's got to change dramatically, which means we, the people, need to get off our asses and stop watching NFL football as if that's our life, because that's going away too. College football, NFL football, hockey, basketball, baseball, golf, all of that crap that we do instead of doing what we should be doing, that's going to be so – it's already so irrelevant. But that's not important. Your family are all on the fucking line here. We're all going to be in the meeting. Your picket fence is going to stop that.
You're right. What did you say, Warren? What's gas already? $4.50 a gallon out there already? Wait till it's $8 a gallon.
It's coming, and it's going to hurt.
Yep.
Yeah, it was $4.29 a gallon when I looked today. And like a little over a week ago, it was like $3.85 or $3.90 or something. So, yeah, in a week, it's already shot up. It's just nuts.
I don't know. I just don't. I just so frustrated. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. We have to do something. It has to start probably at the city level, you know, not just the county level or what the college level or it has to start with the it has to start probably with the school board, you know. That too is a big problem. We saw what happened with the people in Virginia when they went tried to go after the school board for teaching CRT, right?
Yeah.
They declared them terrorists. Yeah, or tried to declare them terrorists and all that stuff. So, yeah, things have to change. And I mean, look, I'll say this. You know, if we had more people like Gunslinger and who had the ability to do what they did back then, when he actually cost a mayor of a town an election by hanging him in the effigy, you know, right, Gunslinger?
Well, yeah, but like you said, you know, there's one thing that you know, the what you're saying will work over a long period of time. I don't think we got a long period of time, okay? If Poopy Pants gets back into that office, we are F-U-C-K-E-D, okay? So the voting is not going to do a whole lot. You know, the city council, start off with the city council or the school district or whatever. Okay, those are great ideas, okay, no doubt. Should have worked a long time ago, but they didn't. They failed because they're still doing the same old shit. You can't even go in front of a school district or a school council and speak your piece without being thrown out and escorted out in handcuffs. Go look it up on the Internet, on YouTube. Happens all the time.
And why aren't
free
the other parents? You're right. So you know what needed to happen there? Everyone else who was there, he should have had an army. And they should have stopped the police officers or the sheriffs or whoever they were. You're not taking him today. Or you're going to have a bigger shit show on your hands. That's where it needs to go. You're going to have to make them choose. Let them know you no longer have a monopoly on violence. We're not going to be violent here, but if you choose it, you're getting it. Until we're ready to do that, the rest of we are going to be cattle. We're not ready to do what's necessary. Nobody is willing to make the stand.
It has to be in numbers, okay? Because one person can't do
it.
It
does have to be in numbers. You're right.
It has to be in numbers, okay?
They take those parents out of those meetings because no one stands.
Right. Just like I said a while ago on your other show, when they foreclosed or illegally foreclosed on my property, I had 15 jackbooted thugs with automatic weapons on my property, okay? Could I have shot it out? Probably. I had 14,000 rounds of ammo. But would I be here today? No, because they would have gunned you down. They would have literally gunned you down. So one person ain't going to change.
And there's no consequences. You're right.
No.
I get you. You're absolutely correct.
I mean,
there is no consequences for them to act the way they do. No consequences.
What?
And until there are consequences, they will continue to do so.
You know, what would have happened? I go back to January 6th, right? And Uriel Bowser, who was the mayor at the time, and she's still the mayor, in Washington, D.C., said, nobody's going to bring guns into my city. Well, that's supposedly an unconstitutional thing. They were allowed to bring the guns into the city, and the people were allowed to have the guns at January 6th. What would happen? You know, so that's one thing. Two is, you know, anytime we know what the Democrats will do if Trump gets back in there. They're going to crank up Antifa and BLM and all these other different rioting groups to go out there and do the damn riots again, right? It'll be a replay of 2020 again, right? Well, what happened in 2020? Oh, we're just going to gas them and do all this stuff when everybody damn well knows that Antifa and BLM and stuff should have been declared terrorists and should have been shot on sight. I'm sorry.
But they refuse to declare them terrorist groups because we don't recognize terrorist groups when we see them. We want, and it's intentional. So they don't, they blatantly misappropriate the designations and the government resources on purpose. They're telling you this is a mostly peaceful protesters, and at the same time they're looking at looted buildings and burning cars.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I don't even think that you could call that gaslighting. They're laughing in your face. And then they say January 6th was an insurrection. It was the most poorly planned insurrection I've ever seen. And they're going after grandmas who just showed up there for the day, didn't even know what was going on. They just showed up there to see somebody.
Well, you've seen the video, it's on YouTube, about three jackbooted FBI agents going to this lady's house just because she posted something on social media. Okay? Her opinion got a knock from the FBI. One of the little jackbooted thugs were armed. You see his fucking sidearm. It didn't identify, wouldn't identify themselves, wouldn't do nothing in a non-government car. I'd say trespass. I'd say you better get off my property right now or you're fixing to get a full of lead of buckshot.
Well, and then you end up in the same situation.
Yeah.
You end up with a shootout because they'll have 50,000 cops show up.
Yeah, for 50,000 cops, yeah. So you're outgunned, you're outnumbered.
So when are we going to stop that? Because we're all the way back around to the hired mercenary group. We've got to go on the offense. We need to stop reacting and go on the offense. And I'm not talking about going in and shooting people up. I'm talking about we take the initiative. This state government, I live in Columbus, Ohio. This state government, Mike DeSwine, the governor, was one of the worst governors during the shutdown for the destruction of small businesses and the lockdowns. Absolutely unconstitutional in every way, mandates that are so unlawful, it was ridiculous. Why is that man not in chains? We are moving on like that never happened, and he's just all happy-go-lucky. He oversaw the destruction of Palestine, Ohio, and let the EPA say that everything's okay out there while all those people are dying of environmental poisoning from the railroad. That's, nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. And we just let this criminal activity continue and continue and continue. And we're like, oh, well, we'll get rid of him in the elections, blah, 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 blah. And then the elections come along. We get this sorry Democrat who's just as openly awful as DeWine is not openly awful. And we can't get DeWine out because he's the incumbent, and the party won't let you choose anyone but the incumbent. So that's got to stop. It has to stop. Because when you've got a choice between two tyrants, there's not much of a choice. But that's consent of the governed, right? We chose what we got.
I just want to let you know we got Wake Up. She's listening. So I just want to let you guys got another person on here. I'm not going to say her name because I don't know if she wants me to give her name out, but she's listening right now. So if she wants to say something, she can. But I got her thing unmuted.
Wake
but
up
go ahead. I'm sorry.
It says
somebody's underwater.
You've been asking me to do.
We see what I know. People think that there are people that think that what's the guy's name? Ken Paxton over there in Texas Some people think that he's a crook, but and he may very well be a crook. But when he ran afoul of the system in Texas, ran afoul of basically the Bushes, all right, in Texas, they tried to impeach the guy. Right?
Yeah, that's soap opera shit, man. That's soap opera shit, you know? That shit,
that's
a little political bullshit.
Gunslinger was living in, is still living in the state and was living in the state at the time and probably was following.
Oh, I know. I hear you.
You know?
I just thought, you know, but meanwhile they're killing us, you know?
They don't want you to run. The problem with the, you're right about it being, but it's symptomatic, you're right about it being soap opera shit, but it's symptomatic of the thing. Everything is soap opera shit. All these fucking show trials that they're putting Trump through, soap opera. All the impeachment crap, soap opera, you know. Everything is soap opera shit, you know. Everything is worst thing that's going to happen on a daily basis. It's all, we're living in a fucking reality show.
I hear you. I'm just sick and tired, like Adam said. You know, these are our families, you know. Granted, you know, friends, family, whatever, but my family, I want to live, man. I still got a good portion of my life to live. I want to live free. I'm sick and tired of this crap. Sick of it. I want to talk about something different, but we have to talk about this.
None of us on here.
I've got a lot of time left. I mean, time does nobody good. Okay, I'm 60 years old. Okay, sheesh. What, 34 years maybe? Okay, if some don't get it. So, and you got the young people that are out there that goes around these campuses and bark and dresses up like dogs. Did you see that video? If that is the case, we're in deep trouble. This country is in deep, deep trouble. Damn dog.
Very true, very true.
They need their safe spaces so they can lift up their legs to pee.
Yeah. But that's the thing. When you got the fucking military that's trying to install DEI into the military, you know, DEI is a blight. All right. And needs to be done away with. No, we got liberals that are trying, we got people that are trying to install it into the military. But when the military is supposed to be our fighting men and women that go and fight for us, you know.
The militia, that's our fighting men and women that are fighting for us.
Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be, but again, they're trying to change that, and have they changed it? I'm not sure, but, the change may be ongoing, but again, I mean, look, think about it. The change, if you want to talk about the change, when the change probably started, was when fucking don't ask, don't tell under Clinton, right? Well, we want to change.
No, see something. See something, say something.
Yeah. And then
not don't ask, don't tell.
See something, say something. Yeah. And that's the thing. You got all this stuff that is. And it's
flag laws, it's, red flag laws, another bullshit freaking crap, you know?
Right. Yeah, and Trump supports that. And I was just going to say, like, that whole see something, say something, you know, it's be patriotic and narc on your own fellow Americans. And I remember seeing the screenshot of a Twitter that somebody asked, you know, how do you report someone you know that is doing business under the table and not reporting their taxes. And Joe Jorgensen, who was the 2020 presidential nominee for the Libertarian Party, she responded simply by saying, "You shut the fuck up, that's how." And I love that response.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up, that's how.
That's what they hate. That's what they hate. They don't want you to, okay, you know, a friend of yours or a family member that does, you know, your grass, does your, you know, does lawn services like Joe does, like Joe used to, right? And they don't want you to be able to say, "Joe, I will pay you under the table, I will pay you, you know, $100 a month to come do my grass. In cash, to come through my grass, you know, to come through my yard." They don't want that. That's Joe making money off of Joe making total money off of them without their knowledge.
The digital currency will stop all that. The digital currency will stop all that.
It ain't going to stop it. You know why? These people that do this, and I was in business for 10 and a half years, and I didn't report cash. Nobody does. There's a zillion companies out here that does not report cash. I'm sorry if you don't like it. It's the way it is. It's business. Even Donald Trump, he's got tax loops. He doesn't report everything that he does, especially when it comes to cash. Well, he may report some of it, but he'll pocket some of it.
How are you going to get around that? Digital thing. How could you get around that? It's all traced. You know?
I mean, it depends on how good you are at a computer. You got 5-year-old kids out there that knows more about computers than everybody on this show combined today. If there's a will, there's a way. If there's a will, there's a way. Somebody will figure it out. And I mean immediately, but somebody will figure it out. So,
Gunslinger, I remember that story you told about your friend that was teaching computer theory at one of the local colleges. And probably a lot of what he was talking about has come true. You know, this was back in the early 80s, right? Early to mid-80s, when this guy was doing this, right?
Well, not necessarily him, but it was me. I went through 2 years of electronics school, and I seen it then. That look out, it's going to be a rough future. And guess what? 30 years, 35 years later, I was right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's the thing. I mean, the other thing they want to do with this digital currency is they want they're looking to get lists of people who bought guns. They want to know about every gun that's around in the country. All right? And that's the thing. I mean, you have your 30-30, you have your 357, you have your 9mm. You have three guns, and that's just you, right? That's just you. You know, so they want that list to where, you're gonna try and give your gun to your granddaughter or your daughter or whatever and say, "Okay, we're gonna come and say, well, where's your gun? Well, I gave it away. Or I bequeathed it to my grandchild or my child, right? Now, prove it. No.
It's like this. Where's your gun at? None of your goddamn business.
Yep.
They want to try to outlaw private sales. Okay. Yep. With everything going on in this country, we're being invaded like we're at war. Hell, we are at war by the southern border down here. But yet they're more concentrated on trying to take the legal gun owner's gun away from them, okay? Because the criminals are going to still get their fucking guns, whether you like it or not, okay? They go down the street and to somebody there. Hey, can you give me a fifth of a bag of dope here, and I'll trade you this $3.50. You know, whatever. Okay, they're still going to get them, but yet they're going to demonize the law-abiding citizens that are stupid. That goes along with these stupid laws. Most of them are. Okay, the only common sense gun law that makes sense is you shouldn't take a gun into a bar. That's the only one that makes sense. The rest of them, gone. Get them out. Throw them out. Because alcohol and weapons don't really mix too good, especially in a bar.
Yeah.
You know, back in the Wild West,
you know what I think? You know what I think, Gunslinger, on that one? I think, you know what? When you check them in at the door. You know? You check them in at the door. You know what I mean? I could live with that.
That's what they did. Remember, that's what they did back in the Wild West in these saloons.
Yeah.
They called them saloons. When you come in with the gunfighters or the gun whatever, cowboys or whatever, they go in there to get some pussy and get some, you know, the whiskey and everything. They check their guns in at the front door and go do their thing. And when everything, if they stagger out, here's your gun, sir. Goodbye. Have a nice day. Come
back.
Yeah,
but you know what? The difference was? It was the establishment that usually had that policy. It wasn't a state law. It wasn't a federal law.
Mm-hmm.
It was the establishment itself that said, check your guns at the door. But that's how it
Amen.
Should be.
Amen.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. And it still didn't work at times because I've seen different things where, different movies where, well whatever, these people would be playing these card games in these saloons and under the
table. That's a movie, man.
Those
are movies. That's a movie.
There's a little daring for it, you know? You know, so, you know, a lot of times it didn't work, you know? So,
but that's up to revolution. But so what? That's that. Then it's not up to the government though to be big brother watching over us, you know?
Right. And what we need to do is we need to have what they had back in the old West when people just couldn't deal with it anymore. What they do? They formed these things called vigilance committees. Basically, they became vigilantes. And they, if they had a guy in jail that you knew did something, and you had to wait for the judge to come and try the guy, and the judge wouldn't be around for another week, they form these committees, they break the guy out of jail, and they hang him.
Well, sometimes it was a month. Well, sometimes it was a 6 months before you seen a judge.
I don't know about that.
You know, they went from town to town to town, and back in the West. You didn't have no damn trains. You rode on a horse. Okay. And it took a while. So, you know, like the sheriff. They went from town. You know, same thing.
And basically, horse thieving was one of the, other than treason, was one of the crimes that was punishable by hanging.
Right?
You stole a man's horse. That's basic. Back then, you steal a man's horse. That's a man's business. Right?
It's tools. It's tools. It's way of life. Way of making food, providing food for family and whatever.
Big-ass wall.
Yep.
I think somebody sent me a picture of the fence down there at the border, I think. I think that's what it is, the border. That's a big-ass freaking fence.
Look at what the FBI did to Mike Lindell. Look at what the FBI did to Mike Lindell. They stopped him at a Wendy's and they took his phone away from him. All right? Well, what's so important about Mike Lindell's phone is that's his business. That's how he does his business, is over his phone. Right? You take something like that away from a man, how's he going to run his business? If that's how he runs his business.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I got you on that. But, you know, and there's certain elements of the Patriot community or people that are out there that are, you know, that are, there's people that are listening and watching and that I get, you know, not everybody's going to speak out. There are numbers out there of good people still that you know, that aren't are vocal or on the front lines like me or Adam that are out there to come on these shows and talk. I mean, he and I will be the first to get knocked off. They'll be coming for us, you know. But, but there's a lot of people out there underground that are not vocal. They're just quiet, sitting back, waiting, you know. And there are a lot of them. I know that for a fact. I've met some over the years, you know. So, but I, you know, but that's the price we got to pay, I guess. You know, that's the way it is. They come after me, though. They better come correct. They've already tried a few times anyway.
I don't know that they're going to come. They won't. They're not going to have to come for you. It's going to be the chaos that comes, and probably who stands after it all once the smoke clears. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Sure.
I tell you what, though, you're absolutely right. Though you know.
Yeah, I mean, we look at these. I don't want to say Democrat-run cities, but you know, Democratic establishment-run cities like Philadelphia, New York, and L.A. and, you know, all these places that crime is running rampant, right? You know, crime is a big deal and it's running rampant. But again, who votes for that stuff? People vote for it. You know, you look at the whole no bail thing in New York. Who voted for that? The people voted for that because the people voted for the politicians that are going to put that shit in. They get what they, in essence, they get what they pay for, right?
Yeah, yeah. Why is this guy from Florida calling me? What the hell are you doing? Let me see. Maybe he's trying to get through on the phone line. Oh, yeah, I see him. All right, I see you. I'm going to unmute you now. There he goes. I got Florida on the line. Go ahead. You're unmuted. Go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing, Joe? Can you hear me?
All right. Yeah, we can hear you fine.
And, hey, I live in Florida and all that. I was just curious, man. They have been having a lot of launches going off down here at the Cape. And I was just, you guys know what Big Brother is, I'm sure, right? And I was just curious, how many satellites can we put up in the atmosphere? I mean, how many do we need? Because, guys, they're going up like 3 and 4 times a day, it seems like. I mean, I'm probably exaggerating about that, but there is quite a bit of launches.
You paying attention to the news? We're close to World War III.
And so what, were you putting nuclear bombs in the atmosphere or what?
Well, they attacked Iran tonight.
Well, that was Syria. They've been fighting for a long time.
They attacked Iran. Iran.
Who did?
Yeah, they attacked Iran, yeah.
Who attacked them?
Us and Israel. Israel.
Well, they've been fighting for thousands of years over religion and shit. Why are we even worried about it?
It should be. You're right, but it's going to drag the whole world into this.
Why do we care who fucking attacked Iran? I mean, really? I mean,
well,
you know,
you're
going to
care.
Fighting for another Adolf Hitler.
We're not even allies with Iran.
You're going to care. You're going to care. Let's put it that way.
When you wake up tomorrow morning,
you remember how gas prices jumped in 2008? Remember how gas prices jumped in 2008, Dale?
No. Do I want anybody to bomb the United States? No, of course not. But I'm talking about these
people.
Said,
do you remember? Shut up for a minute. I said, do you remember gas prices in 2008? Remember when we were out working and they jumped like that? Remember they skyrocketed? Well, that's what's going to happen this week.
Okay. So, I mean, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to go over there and fight?
If you don't know what to do as an American patriot, if you don't know what to do as an American patriot, then you haven't listened to one damn word I've told you for the last 15 years.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Why are they fighting? Why are they fighting over gasoline?
The New World Order, Gail. The New World Order. The New World Order.
Okay, so how are we involved other than our price of gasoline going up?
I don't know. Maybe someone else can explain it to him. I don't know.
Let's explain it for him. So the United States is a obvious ally of Israel. We have pretty much supported every attack of anything Israel has ever made. So we're the puppet of Israel. Now, as Israel is attacking Iran, we're going to be brought into that battle as their collateral because we have to support Israel at any cost. They're our only ally in the region, quote unquote. We've already got the other Arab nations around there all stirred up. Russia's in the proximity ready to strike our aircraft carriers if we get involved or whatever. So the British have launched their planes during the missile attack from Iran to Israel. They were already directly involved. We've been warned that if the United States gets directly involved, Russia and most of the Arab state will retaliate. The Chinese are also backing the Russians and the Iranians. They're literally setting up World War III. So it's beyond the cost of fuel going up, which is going to happen tomorrow to help collapse what is already a hyperinflated economy in the United States. You're going to see a catastrophic effect across the country. And let alone, you said they're launching rockets into orbit like crazy here lately, 2-3 a day or whatever. So whatever they're preparing for, whatever we're about to endure is going to be catastrophic here. Because so they're putting satellites in there into space. Are they doing that for the surveillance state? Are they doing that to launch EMPs? Are they doing that? Are they launching new laser energy weapons to burn down wholesale cities and blame aliens or Iranians for it? What are they doing? They're preparing for something.
They're preparing for something. It could be a weapon. And but why is Israel and Iran at war?
The Israelis attacked an Iranian embassy. The Iranians retaliated with a missile attack against Iran. The missile attack against Iran makes the Israelis respond with American weapons. They're sending American F-14s and American missiles into Iranian space. So the stuff that we've given them. So it's just a series of escalations by both sides.
Is it over religion or why are they fighting?
I just told you the Israelis attacked an Iranian embassy is what started this.
I know, but why? Is it
because
over religion?
I don't
know. Is it over politics? Is it over land? Is it over money? Is it over
it's this Hamas thing in Gaza and yada. So they presume that there were Hamas at the Israeli at the Iranian embassy or whatever. They just did it. Israel is attacking anything and everything that they wanted to attack for a while, I suspect. It's just,
and we support them.
They're just.
But yeah, and Iran has been backing, you know, Hamas, and providing them with weapons. They're Iran is part of the funneling of money and weapons to Hamas. And so that is why Israel bombed the embassy, the Iranian embassy in Syria. Because, of course, Syria, Hamas in Syria has been tossing missiles over into Israel. And so it's just it's all of the above. Everything, it's religion, it's land, it's money, it's oil, it's resources, it's farmland. It's all a series, like Adam said, it is just one after another steps of escalation going on.
And look, one guy's holding up both puppets.
And here's the deal with that. Well, I know people aren't going to want to hear me say this, but it's the sons of Isaac versus the sons of Ishmael, right? That's what it is. It's basically a family feud. That's what this is.
I would agree with that on the level that the human race has been fighting since the beginning, since Cain and Abel. So we could go on forever at that end. So that's the point that's also irrelevant at the same time. The United States has been at war more years during its existence than it hasn't.
Okay.
Since its inception in 1776.
Yeah,
but you have to include the actual undeclared wars with that. You have to, our declared war is minute compared to our undeclared wars that Congress never authorized, and therefore unconstitutional wars.
Hey guys, we're going into overtime. If you guys hang up, you'll be able to get back in.
He said, "Yeah." He's like, he sent him home, and I said, "For what?" He says, "I don't know." He said, "Pat's kind of been like on one lately with everything going on." Everybody
he was being a jerk because Jamie said that she was out gathering trash, and she said, "Since you're right here, I'll take your trash too." She said, "Steven did something in the office to take the trash out right away," and Pat was like, "What do you say? Give her the freaking trash. We got a job to do too, you know." Yeah, and he was here with the trash now, because he's like, "I want my water now."
Yeah,
Who's talking?
Even on the floor, he's real short.
And it's weird, because he was fine with me, he was fine with Scott, but I guess security personnel in particular and other people, he was real upset.
Yeah, I think they're probably.
I think you were not supposed to unmute somebody.
He hasn't been short with me.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Thanks, Adam. You just ratted me out, damn it.
No problem.
Look.
Damn it, it's your turn to take out the trash, man. What's the deal?
That's what I have kids for. They take out the trash.
All right, guys, we're in overtime.
Yeah. Well,
anyway.
Find normal bouncy pocket of semen, and I said it keeps him look like he has a habit of. And
okay.
Hello.
All right. Anyway, okay. Dale, do you understand?
Did you
this
figure out who to
mute?
Mute, or did they realize and mute themselves?
I think they muted themselves. I can't.
But anyway, I guess I understand a little bit more on what you guys are talking about. But I still say that they have been fighting for a long time. And what they're fighting over, really, it's nothing that we should send our and have our American GIs to be killed over there or anything like that right there. I feel like that we should not take part in any of their, because they have been doing this.
You will not get any disagreement with me.
That's how I feel.
You will not get any disagreement with me.
I don't disagree with that. That's the thing. That's what I've been saying. This has been, this whole conflict is thousands of years old, all right? It's not just now. It's not just, it didn't just start now. It didn't just start with Carter. It's been going on for thousands of years, this whole Middle East thing. Right? I mean, it didn't even start down there when they had the friggin' crusades back in the Middle Ages. It was even before
but
that.
That's irrelevant.
So,
that's irrelevant. The bottom line is that it's happening, you know, and it's never going to get settled, and they're dragging the world into it.
Right, and that's the thing.
What's the Bible say about this, Adam? What's the Bible say about this? How does it play out?
You're absolutely right. And so we have no business involving our...
Apparently what the Bible says about this thing is that there's going to be some sort of incident that maybe a nuclear bomb goes off in that area or whatever. You know, that's what the Bible says anyway when it says it'll be like an oven and their tongues will waste away in their mouths as they stand there.
In
right?
one day.
In one day. And there's only one, other than a supernatural incident that might happen, there's only one one man-made thing that can do that, and that's the bomb, you know?
Or a meteor rock. Or a meteor rock.
Well, I wanted to know what Adam's take was that on a theological perspective. I wanted to hear Adam's take on that, you know, with this end times thing. I know about rapture and stuff like that. What do you think, Adam?
I don't buy the rapture, obviously, but that's a theological position that was created in the 1800s. It wasn't created. It was made popular in the 1800s, but the first 1800 years of the church, nobody believed that. It's something that was made popular by Schofield. But anyway, there's no actual rapture in the scripture. Now, as far as I have gone through a whole lot of things, the King James Bible was pressed upon me early in my walk with God, and there was a lot of case made for that being the actual scripture, the only scripture that's legitimately viable, word of God, and yada, yada, yada. But I have since figured out that that is very untrue.
Really?
And I'm not necessarily willing to argue that here right now, but
I know.
There's plenty of case that the King James is actually garbage. The interpretations of Scripture, I have a particular problem with most seminary-trained pastors because what I've learned over the years of my walk is that people who are seminary-trained, and this goes for college training of anything, really, is that you're learning the opinions and being graded on the opinions of other people's interpretations of things. If you don't agree with them, you get an F. So when I was having big disputes with a pastor who helped destroy my family, by the way, he had a doctor's degree in a Baptist seminary. He would basically tell me that my interpretations and the way I read Scripture were wrong, and his was superior because he was trained. And my thought on that was, well, I mean, you paid 8 years for 8 years of education, learning from other people to tell you what the Bible says, whereas I spent 15 years learning it for free and figuring it out on my own. And I will trust over you any day, especially as his interpretations were that love and forgiveness weren't the top things in my family, and that my then wife was pretty much within any power, as long as she decided that she wanted the end of the marriage, she could. The only person that ever went to counseling and actually talked about love and forgiveness in those meetings was me. So he helped contribute to what would eventually be the destruction of my family. And I learned at that point that modern Western Christianity doesn't exist to teach God generally. Western Christianity exists under what was originally the Treaty of Verona in Europe to make the people passive. And if you read the Treaty of Verona, they understood that the church was the best way to get the population to submit to authority. And that's when the Catholic Church agreed with the Lord and Lords that as long as the Lords vowed their lands to the Vatican would endorse their rule by God. So all of the stuff that is conspired for probably, you know, since 1600s or earlier, I mean, we could probably go back to Constantine and the merger of the Roman Church with Rome, and some stuff that went on at the Council of Nicaea and all of that crap. I've done a lot of church history and a lot of stuff on the different versions of Scripture and things. But the end times, I don't believe the vast majority of prophecy exists to actually tell us what's going to happen, except that they do tell us some things about the Creator. The rest of it is manipulated in such a way to make us submissive and passive. They've taken so much out. They've added some stuff, and it's not the inerrant Word of God. So we need to know that there is, in fact, a Creator, and maybe these things loosely describe Him. But I would say that the end times prophecies that are coming true are probably more related to the satanic ideas of karma, because in Satanism, they believe that if you were to hand someone a poisoned apple and tell them, hey, here's this apple, and you poison them, then the karma of your evil deed will come back on. But if you tell somebody, hey, that apple's poison, ha, 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 and they think it's a joke and they eat it anyway, you told them what was coming, but they accepted it. So you no longer are liable for that karma that you of doing evil on another person. That's the reason The Simpsons is predictive. That's the reason there's a lot of truth in plain sight in Hollywood in general. They're telling you what they're doing because they believe in that idea of karma. If they made some, because King James actually commissioned a satanic book along with the Bible. I don't know how many people understand or know that. King James was not a good man, and his interest in all of that was to create the Church of England so he could break away from Catholicism and break their power and take it for himself. He wasn't in the business of clarifying the religion, as it were. In fact, that the word baptism, as it stood, was created for King James because they didn't want to tell him that the translation was immersion in water, and he was never immersed in water. So they didn't want to tell him he wasn't truly baptized. They just made up a word. And it's there's a lot of things. Martin Luther was quite possibly he was a Catholic who got having sexual relations with nuns and was excommunicated. That was the origin of his revolution, as it were. So there's so many things that people should question, and they won't. They will not. And because people won't question what they're told, and I don't even know that all of that is true, but there is room to question. And we should question things.
You know, there's a famous line, there's a famous saying from, I believe, Benjamin Franklin, said, question with boldness the existence of God, or something to that effect. You know. So, yeah, you're true with that. But again, the whole thing with the rapture is people say it's not in the Bible. Like, yeah, you got translations of the Bible where the word is actually there. You go see Latin, translation of the Bible where it is there. And you mentioned, you know, the apple and the fruit and stuff. And that was according to the Bible now. I'm just according to the Bible. You know, that was the original deception was what happened at the tree of good and evil, right? The Bible says that they were told not to eat of this tree or you will die, right? And that's what the Bible says. Now, you can argue about what it means, what it says. You know, you can argue about that, but apparently that's what the Bible says. You know, and it was some fruit. The opinion on what kind of fruit it was that they took a bite of, whatever. But it was a deception that was put on to people. And look, I agree with you.
That never made them do it.
Basically ruined your marriage, Adam. He wasn't preaching the Bible because he wasn't following the Bible because the Bible basically says when Jesus Christ fell down the two commandments, it says, what are the commandments? One is love God, and second one is love your fellow man.
That guy is trying to say
you're not to love your fellow man, you're not to try through love to be.
The greatest commandment is love God with all your heart. And then the second is go out and preach the gospel to the rest of the world. Those are the two greatest commandments.
In terms of the sheep, the golden rule, do unto others as you have them do unto you.
Mm-hmm. Apparently that Baptist minister or whatever he was that basically ruined your marriage, who never read the Bible.
Right.
Well, he was certainly evil, that's for sure.
He read the Bible, but his intent was not.
And then what
his intention was to keep people. He was trying to be in my family in his fold, and I was leading my family out of his fold because he was a heretic, and I would question him. So what he did was he followed. He would discredit me and eventually basically assume the position of the man of my house, taking authority even from me over my wife and my family. And that's
Maggie.
Eventually. And just assuming himself to be the greater authority of spiritual authority. It is absolutely evil. And I proved it on multiple occasions to the point where even a few of his deacons left. But my wife, however, believed that I was the one that was in error. So I was the one that was always making waves. I was the one that was questioning. Here's the deal. I was 23 when I became a Christian, when I understood that there was a creator. And the problem is I was an atheist up to that point. And I didn't come to believe in God just because I was raised that way, like the vast majority of the people that he knew in the Bible Belt. I came to knowledge of God through logic and math. And so I wanted to know what it was that I actually believed, and I studied hard for myself because my entire worldview changed, and I knew it, and I understood that. So when he would speak, and there's one term that I continuously hear, and I've heard it on Joe's show multiple occasions, and Joe probably remembers the arguments I've had with some of these people. One of the things that I hear pastors do, and they use it to commit absolute heresy, is this idea of rightly dividing. Rightly dividing is from hell. That is bullshit. I'm just going to say it. And if you believe in rightly dividing, you're fucking wrong. And that's how he does it. He would take a verse from here, a verse from there, about things they weren't written about subjects they had nothing to do with, and create an entire theology based on fiction. And it's rightly dividing. If I use rightly dividing the way most of these pastors do, I could make theology tell me that God says I can do anything I want. It doesn't work like that. the word of God is written about whom it is written, to whom it is written, about the subject it is written, the time it is written. It is not made as an organic thing that you can pick a verse out of the Old Testament, a verse out of the New Testament, a verse here and a verse there, and build entire theologies out of it. That's not what it is.
True, that is true, Adam. Yeah, you got a good point there.
And so that is one of the things, and it's just logical. It's just logical. It's not even a difficult thing to understand. And if you read, in order to create this idea of rightly dividing, you've got to rightly divide the verse of rightly dividing the way they do it in order to make it say what they say it says. Because the idea of rightly dividing and its context was Paul was talking to people about the conversations they have with non-believers. And in those conversations, they often lead off and trail off into things that have nothing to do with God. And he was telling the people, he was telling believers, rightly divide the word. In other words, stay on the subject of God and don't go down the rabbit trails of conversations that have nothing to do with God. That's what rightly dividing meant in the context of the way it was written. It didn't mean you got to rightly divide and create ideas like the rapture. Now, you're telling me it's in other versions. I'm going to look that up, but I'm pretty sure it's not. I don't know where it is, but if it is, I'll find it. But I honestly believe that. I'm that kind of
Israel and the Iranians. Tell that right there to the Israelites and the Iranians. What you just said. Whoever Allah is who they believe in.
Israel is starting it. That's not the way that the USA handles things. In my eyes, we handle it differently. We don't start things. We finish them.
We are involved because it is financially advantageous for the American industrial complex, military-industrial complex, to be involved. They need somebody to sell bombs and planes and all that crap, too. That's the reason we never get out of war.
I was just
going to
say, that's like the perfect slogan, you know? That's the perfect slogan for the deception that our government does. We don't start them, we end them. You know, that's a marketing slogan if there ever is one. Just look at the history of the CIA. Just look at it and tell me that our government does not start shit. You know what I mean? You can't. If you look at the history of the CIA and its interference in all kinds of countries and governments all over this world, and you are damn, you know, you are wrong if you think for a second that the United States does not start stuff.
Right. And Adam, to your point about King James, the reason why King James did what he did is because the Pope wouldn't let him get a divorce because he wanted a divorce because he wasn't able to have a male heir. You know?
Well, I don't know about all that.
And that's another point. You're absolutely correct.
But
I gotta disagree with you on that.
I just wanna say the word rapture isn't in the King James Version, but the words catching away are. That's what the rapture is. That's what they say the rapture is a catching away. All right? Now in the Latin Vulgate, which is the Catholic translation of Latin Vulgate, the word rapture or rapturo or rapiamor is in that translation, but you're going to have to go and look that up for yourself, you know, to prove what I'm saying is kind of the word.
I've always had questions about the rapture. You know, I've always had questions about the rapture.
Right, and you're right. These priests, these ministers that are obviously evil ministers. I mean, you look at people like Jeremiah Wright. You look at people like what was the other guy that was with Jeremiah Wright that was a Catholic? What was his name? You look at all these ministers that are just flat-out evil people.
just evil, you know. And they have how many people following them in their churches? Hundreds, thousands of people. If it's a mega church, you know. And they're evil, evil people, you know.
Well, I'm going to tell you how I know the rapture is false doctrine. Because it is stated that we are always supposed to test the spirits, and we are supposed to judge things by their fruit, right? You always judge them by their fruit. And I will tell you what the fruit of the rapture does. I have witnessed it for years, and it's what made me question it to begin with, is that all of the people in the church who believe in the rapture, their big thing is to sit in, I call them cafeteria Christians. They sit around and they eat their donuts and they go, man, the world outside really sucks. I can't wait till Jesus comes and takes us away. They think it's a get out of jail free card that they get to lay around and do nothing until Jesus comes. That's the fruit of the rapture. It's not bringing anything to the kingdom other than a bunch of lazy people. They don't think that they have to do anything. And I'm going to make this correlation as well. That's exactly what Donald Trump does to patriots.
I'm not here to save the world. You know? Mm-hmm. That's the attitude. I'm not here to save the world. You know? My kingdom's up there. So whatever happens down here, I got nothing to do with
there
it. That's what they say.
There would literally be people rotting outside the doors of the church. There will be utter corruption in these small towns in Oklahoma. I would see the most horrid corruption in these little towns of 3,000 people that have a dozen churches in them. But the government, the local government, and everything, they're corrupt to the hilt. And this kind of darkness that surrounds them, they do nothing. They just, and in fact, a lot of them attend the churches. They just get pats on the back.
Yeah, we have.
They don't.
In the little area that I live in, we most have probably, including the Catholic Church, we have probably 80 churches. And that was, you know, people would split off and form their own churches and all that stuff. And they grew.
But you shouldn't have one hungry person. You shouldn't have one hungry person in that town, then. You know?
Right. But here's the thing. My mother, Martha, didn't get on the flower committee to make the flowers on Sunday. So, obviously, they don't understand the word of God there. We're going to go start another church. And then this committee over here at this church, they didn't want gray carpet instead of blue when we redid the sanctuary. So, obviously, they don't understand the word of God. That's the kind of crap that I watch endlessly. It's ridiculous.
Right, and then,
here's the thing. I don't even think you should have a building. I think you should put up a tent tabernacle, and you should spend your Sundays preaching, and then you should be helping your community. Why do we have this big old fancy clubhouse?
Amen to that.
Right, and then apparently originally that's what the Jews had. They had a tent tabernacle before Solomon so-called built a temple, but that before that it was a tent, you know.
So if we look at what the church is now, the church, because we want to say that going to the church isn't the building, but it's the building. That's the way we talk about it. That's the way we refer to it. It absolutely is the building. We only say that it's not when somebody asks the question about what is the church, but we act like it's the building. So if we look at what goes on today, it would be more akin to what Christ found when he came in and he turned over the money changer tables. It would be much more like that at the temple than it would be the tabernacle where they held the Ark of the Covenant and they worshiped and they took the lands as they were commanded by God and followed his bidding. When they brought it to the temple and the Pharisees and the Sadducees were in charge of it, that's what we have now.
Right.
We have Pharisees and Sadducees in the temple that Christ would have come in and turned over the tables. Because I watched the budget, and I asked about the budget of, and I'm just going to put it out there, Stigler First Baptist Church, they got, I don't remember how many hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. It was like $250,000, $300,000, and 96% of it was spent internally. 3% of it went to missions, and 2% of it went to the Southern Baptist Convention.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of it was just spent on the pastor and his vacations, his rock climbing vacations that he took two or three times a year, and his really big house. And they lived in ways that nobody else did. They had a racquetball court in this church. You know, it wasn't a mega church, but they're living in a community that was so meth ridden. The vast majority of people are living in run down trailers, and the local sheriff were running that meth trade, and the local judge was backing the sheriff. You know, you've got this utter horrid corruption. The mayor of this town wasn't elected. He was selected by a committee from the city committee. It was ridiculous. It was utterly ridiculous what went on in this town. But, you know, we got our racquetball court.
Think about this, Adam. It is said that the Catholic Church has somewhere between 800 million to a billion people that are Catholics, right? All right. I don't want to argue about the numbers. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, that's true. Between 800 million to a billion Catholics, right? Now, on any given Sunday, whatever, how much money do they? I'm hollering about the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is one of the richest entities in the world.
Well, that's true. That's true. Hey, guys. Yeah. Hey, guys, you're getting ready to start wrapping it up here. So I just want to say it was a good conversation here tonight. So any closing thoughts, go down the line. You know, I appreciate you, Adam, hanging out tonight. I mean, it's important stuff we're talking about, man. But, it's all talk unless we get out there and do something. You know, I know Adam, he's a fighter. I know he's out there, and you guys know I'm out there. I know some of you other guys are out there. But if we're not going to do nothing, then it's just all talk, you know. This is ridiculous what's happening. It's ridiculous. It's pissing me off every day more and more. You know, we got to make a change. Got to. But I would turn it over to you guys, man.
I will tell you, my plan is to protect my family and my friends. If I get more friends that want to come together and help to that cause, I would be for creating a community of like-minded people that want to come together and build a new kind of community. And if we're talking about compounds or whatever, I'm okay with that. But at this point, fixing what's going on the macro scale, I don't think that's possible anymore. It's not within the time frame we're being given.
Starting to believe you.
So I just don't think we needed to be doing this. Like, I started this 15, 20 years ago, and I know a bunch of other people have been working on these kinds of ideas for that long, and we've gotten nowhere with that. So it's past time to wake people up. They're going to find out. They fucked around. They're going to find out. It's too late. They wanted to watch their Monday night football. They wanted to do their sewing circles. They wanted to pretend that, you know, everything's okay and that they could hide behind their picket fence and someone else would save them. And they're going to find out. It's just not going to happen. So those of us who can prepare, we need to do what's best. We need to do what God revealed to us. Because I think there is a spirit that reveals to certain people for certain reasons that God always leaves himself a remnant. That's one thing that we do know from history and from the scripture. And those people that are in the know, just protect your family. Survive. Do what you need to do. Be one of the 99,000 that the government predicted would survive whatever's going to happen in the next year.
Yeah.
That's all you do. That's all you can do.
Yeah.
It's
going to happen.
I'll leave it at that.
It's going to happen, Adam.
That's the thing. I mean, look, if we can't somehow get rid of the corruption, we're done. I mean, the Bible does say
Corruption cannot put on incorruption. You know, so we've got a ton of corruption all up and down the scale that we need to somehow get rid of, right? So, and if we can't do that, then it starts at, you know, school board level. It starts at your town. It starts at your this, that, and the other. If we can't get rid of it, we're done. You know?
I like Adam's idea. Start with your friends first, your family and friends. And I think we had, you know, screwed around with that idea a little bit years ago, kind of, you know, hey, what about a compound or a city or a town that's abandoned, you know, these deserted towns that are out there? You know, take over one of those, appoint a sheriff, you know, and get like-minded people and expand outward like that. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I think that's almost necessary because of the nature of the invasion going on right now. We talked about that briefly, but we're all watered down, sprinkled out across the entire country right now. We're going to have to find some place to be.
Yeah. Lorianne, you still there?
I am still here, just barely. I'm going to switch on over to Jay Clark's show here, though, because his show has about 26 minutes left. So I'm going to flip on over to his show and see what he's up to.
All right, then. Anybody else got something to say real quick? If not, I'm going to get ready to end it, man. I appreciate everybody hanging out tonight. You know, hopefully we learned something at least.
Yep. Well, it's good hanging out with you all, deal. Adam. Good, though, as always, to be on with you. And
hang on,
Lorianne.
Hang on.
Well.
Gunslinger wanted to say something. Hang on. Well, Gunslinger wanted to say something. Go ahead, Gunslinger.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, something's got to be done pretty fast or this country's going to go down the shitter. There ain't no doubt about it. We're already heading that way, okay, heading down that train track, and that bridge is out on that canyon, and it's just going full steam. And here's another deal. You know, okay, y'all people can believe what you want to. There's no such thing as a rapture. God will say that he will make heaven on earth. How can you make heaven on earth if there ain't nobody going to be here? Think about that one. We'll all
Amen.
See, won't we?
All right.
We'll all see one day.
Anybody else? I know we had a bunch of people on here, so that's all right. I know we lost a few people. All right, well, hey, man, thanks, guys. God bless the Republic. Take care, man. Be safe out there. Adam, thank you once again. I'll be in touch later. I'll see everybody else on the other shows later on during the week, hopefully.
Good night, all.